och välkommen till Seglingspodden. Detta är en podd om svensk elitsegling. Och jag som pratar heter Anna Östling.
Seglingspodden presenteras i samarbete med Svenska Seglarförbundet och Helly Hansen.
I detta avsnittet har vi en gäst som för vissa nog är rätt okänd, men som har full koll på allt som är värt att veta om den tour som format de flesta av dagens världsstjärnor i vår sport. Från England, just nu på plats på Marstrand, får vi en pratstund med James Plessens, vd sedan starten på World Match Racing Tour. So now we're here at Marstrand during Childhood Match Cup, and we're actually at the Havshotellets conference room, and the guest in front of me today is James Plessens. We're so happy to have you here, James.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I've been coming here for 22 years now, so yeah. It's like a second home. Absolutely love it. So yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I was about to say, it wasn't your first trip to Marstrand this year.
No, it wasn't. I haven't been here for a few years because of, reasons that have affected the whole world, unfortunately, with the coronavirus. But yes, I've been here for many years, and it's nice to see that, some things have changed, but many things haven't. And it's still just a beautiful island. And what an iconic sailing venue. And, I tell people, whenever I go around the world, you must come to Marstrand, and it really is fabulous. The sun shining today, what a great place. So pleased to be back.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the World Match Racing Tour and the new Women's World Match Racing Tour, or new, maybe not new, but in a new format, in a new setup. Can you please tell me what's your part? What's your job?
My official title, if you like, I've always been an executive director of the World Match Racing Tour, and I started with working with the tour back in 2002. In fact, it seems a long time. That's 20 years ago. It's quite frightening that neither of my children were born when I started working for the tour, and one of them just passed their driving test. So you can, it's been a while.
Time flies.
And so I initially started working with Scott McLeod from America, who together with his agency at the time, and Magnus Holmberg, who's obviously a very well-known sailor here, and in partnership with Swedish Match in 1999-2000, took what was a very successful event here, the Swedish Match Cup, and Swedish Match as a company were looking for a global opportunity as a sponsorship, and they created what started off as the Swedish Match Grand Prix Sailing Tour and was later shortened to the Swedish Match Tour because it was a long title. And I started really working as an event manager for the tour then, and I'm still here.
So the World Match Racing Tour was born here in Sweden.
It was, and it didn't start as the name the World Match Racing Tour. As I said, it was a Swedish Match Tour, and it was hugely successful, and they were such a great partner, and we took it all around the world. And then in 2005, which some of your listeners I hope will remember, there were some new rules about sponsorship of tobacco products in the world, and they were banned.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, Swedish Match had to move away from public sponsorship of sports events. And it was at that time that we created a new partnership with the International Sailing Federation, now called World Sailing.
Yes.
We renamed the tour the World Match Racing Tour and agreed with the federation that the winner of the tour would now become or be crowned the official match racing world champion, because up until then there was the separate tour champion and the world sailing champion. So that was a great partnership we started in 2006, and that's still going on.
Yeah.
They've changed their name to World Sailing. Yeah. We've changed the name to World Match Racing Tour, and that's where the title came from. We had a brief change of title with a title sponsor in 2012, a foreign exchange company called Alpari, and they took ownership of the title of the event, so it became the Alpari World Match Racing Tour from 2012 to 2015. They then moved on for business reasons as title sponsor, and so we're still now the World Match Racing Tour.
Yeah, so the owners, there have been different owners during these years, and maybe now your searching is to, you know, find a new title sponsor, or what's your vision? What's your aim?
Yes, absolutely right. So from a sponsorship point of view, yes, the tour has been through some different ownerships. I think I'm now working for the fourth or fifth owner of the tour, so it's been an interesting and really fun journey for me. As many of your listeners will remember, in 2015, which was when Alpari left as title sponsor, we made quite a bold decision to move the tour completely into multi-hulls under the new ownership from a company called Aston Harald here in Sweden that had acquired the rights to build the M32 carbon fiber, very, you know, high performance multi-hull.
Yeah, it was a new era.
It really was a new era, and it followed on from the America's Cup also moving into multi-hulls, although they did it in 2011 in Valencia, really from 2013 in San Francisco with the big 72s. All of a sudden, the world took this interest in multi-hulls, and particularly foiling multi-hulls. Now, the M32s were not foiling. And so the new ownership with the company Aston Harald and the M32s came at quite a good time.
In a good timing, yeah.
And we'd never done it before, but we changed the whole tour into multi-hulls. And Aston Harald, the carbon composite builder here in Sweden, built a whole fleet of boats that we took to the US, to Europe, to Australia. And it was a whole new world of match racing, and the sailors
loved it.
Yeah, I think everyone, all of a sudden, it went from 7 knots to 27 knots, and crash helmets, and it was
and
hard.
And also the format was changing a bit with the qualification rounds. It came in that time as well.
It changed a little bit, and we opened some new gates on the race course, and we had to move the race format a little bit to adapt to the speed of the boats, and so there was some fleet racing qualifying at the beginning of the event, but it was hugely popular. There were and are still many that love the monohull match racing, and some will say that match racing is better for monohulls, and I'm going to sit on the fence here today because I've seen it in all. I've seen it in foiling boats, as we have now the America's Cup. The multi-hulls, the monohulls, I think what's great is that whatever boat you do it in, the skill that you as an individual and as a team have as match racers, you can take with you regardless of the boat. Yeah. And that's really been one of our real assets of the World Match Racing Tour from when it started, which is that we don't use the same boats. The sailors, the teams that travel to all of the events have to adapt to different boats at different events. And sometimes they just have a few hours to practice in the boat. So we like to keep you all tested.
Yeah.
But that, I think, has always been the charm of the tour, the challenge of the tour for the teams. And from a media angle, it makes a great story. Reporting from the different boats.
With match racing and all those thoughts about not being able to match racing in a foiling boat or in a multi-hull, but looking at the America's Cup, they do the match racing format in whatever boat they develop. And that's, something to remember, that it's possible.
Exactly. And I think if there'll be many of your listeners here that some will say, well, I love the multi-hulls, I love I love the foiling, I love the 12 meters, I love the IACC class. And I think the key here is that match racing is a discipline that's been around in sailing for as long as certainly I've been around, and longer. It's a very simple discipline. It's two boats sailing around a short course, and the first boat over the finishing line wins 1 point. And it's very easy. And that's always been easy for fans and spectators to follow, either at live events or via the TV. And it really, at the end of the day, and I have to be careful what I say, it really doesn't matter what the boats are. And I think, and I like the fact that we have different boats at the tour.
Yeah, I do too.
At the moment, we've never actually had an event on the tour with foiling boats. But clearly, as everyone can see, in the last few years, there's been a real surge of interest in foiling. And I think mostly that's a trickle-down effect from the America's Cup.
Yes.
But you see that the moth, the wasps, and you know the hugely successful foiling week in Lake Garda that just gets bigger and bigger every year. And there's a huge interest in foiling. And I've been asked so many times in the last even 12 months, you know, when are we going to do match racing and foiling? But I think anything's possible, and I'm all for it. And I'm looking forward to
see
if we can if we can try it. And we've even had some discussions here in Marstrand,
which
is a very small race course. So that's really going to be a test for you sailors. I think again, it's a great great asset and advantage of match racing. We don't need to be just one boat.
No, and also the skills that we see that the match racers have, it's quite cool to see when the guys and girls are racing here now, that all the stuff you learn through match racing is so important in the sprint race and in the fleet race as well. So I would be happy to see like the Olympic sailors sailing more match racing on the tour to develop as Olympic sailors as well.
Well, there's even been some fairly open discussion about, and let's not get too political with the Olympics, but there was even a suggestion for a future Olympics, even as soon as 2028 in Los Angeles, because the sailing venue for the LA 28 Olympics is one of the our longest match racing venues of the tour, from a founding event, the Congressional Cup, where they sail at the end of Belmont Pier in Long Beach, which is a fabulous match racing venue. And I know the Olympics in sailing have an issue with, you know, we can't add any more athletes to the quota because it's very tight these days.
Yeah.
And so there's been some really interesting discussions about could we add a second medal for teams at the Olympics in a mixed match racing format, whereby teams can be made up from the existing squads.
Yeah.
So your Olympic sailors in, whether it's in the NACRA, 49er, the NACRA, whatever, after they've done that particular discipline, they come together as a team and they can compete in a mixed match racing event. Now, mixed because of it's one of the mandates of the International Olympic Committee. But what an opportunity for an Olympic sailor to compete at the Olympics and come away with more than one medal, which they do in other sports like athletics and swimming, and they've never been able to do in sailing.
And also I think with the America's Cup now bringing in also the women's class, it will, as far as I know, start with the sprint race and then move forward to the match racing in the end of the event. And that will force, in a good way, all the best women sailors in the world to actually learn all the skills from the match racing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. And and I think this idea of even having a qualification round as a fleet or sprint format, and then maybe from the sort of quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals into a match racing knockout, I think is a format that, you know, I'm keen on looking at as well. And I think, you know, we always look to obviously what the America's Cup's doing, and they change a lot as well. And you know, we try and mirror what's happening in other areas of the sport, because if we can keep some consistency, it's always going to be better. Obviously, they had the women's hugely successful match racing medal at London 2012, and you know, from a personal point of view, it was a shame that didn't continue. But I'm obviously I'm obviously a big supporter of seeing. I'd love to see match racing back in the Olympics, and I think a mixed format would really suit well. A lot of the events on the tour, as they always have done from the beginning, provide the boats, so we don't have to ship boats around the world. And from a certainly from a sustainability and environmental factor, which is hugely important from a world sailing level these days, and that's we're actually one of the most environmentally friendly tours, because we really just ship the competitors and some banners and laptops.
So where do we stand now? We've been through two kind of not so good years with the COVID, of course, and now you are working again to re-establish, maybe that's the correct word. I don't know exactly how many events you're planning this year, but I know it's been tough with the 2 years behind, but where are we now?
Yeah, the last 2 years, I think for everyone, but particularly for a global sports property that relies on traveling around the world, and when the world essentially closed for business with airports,
yeah. And
it has been challenging in the last few years. In fact, it was great in obviously 2020, the first year of COVID, we were able to with the great help of the Royal Bermuda Yacht Club and their very efficient protocols they put in place, they were able to host the Bermuda Gold Cup. And we were, I think, were one of only two world championships that ran in 2020. And the other one was also a match racing event. So they were both just match racing events.
Yeah.
So that was good. But sadly, a lot of the other events were just not able to happen because borders were closed. We had a similar experience, unfortunately, last year, because COVID went on longer than I think a lot of us expected. But we were able to have the event in the Long Beach Yacht Club with the Congressional Cup, who again, through some very strict COVID protocols and the help of the US Olympic Committee, were able to put that event on.
Invite teams anyway.
And invite teams. Yeah. And we had to fill out a lot of paperwork, but we all got there safely, and it was a hugely successful event. I think everyone needed it. This year, again, COVID is still around. I mean, it's great to see that the world is opening up. As many will have seen, we announced a 5-year agreement with the Shenzhen government in China to host the final of the World Match Racing Tour. Sadly, that's the one country that really is still closed its borders. And we're just hoping that they will open soon. They were able to host the Winter Olympics in Beijing, but many international events have sadly been cancelled this year. So I think we probably need to look for next year to reach Shenzhen. And we're in close contact with them. So we've had to rechange the format a little bit this year. And some events have not been able to run. So a little challenging this year. But you know, we've been around 22 years. Yeah. It takes a lot more than a pandemic to stop the tour.
Yeah, that's good. And talking about good things, let's move on to the Women's World Match Racing Tour.
Well, thank you for mentioning it. Hugely exciting. And for the very reasons I talk about, you know, sometimes when you have a challenging time, there's it's very easy to sort of close up and stop for a while. And I was really of the opinion that actually let's try and move forward through the challenges, and let's, you know, use the opportunity to see what else we can create. And the opportunity came up through discussions with Liz Bayliss, who founded the WIM series, the Women's International Match Racing Series in 2013, and subsequently went a bit quiet during the pandemic. And we had a conversation about whether we could revitalize the WIM series, and which is what we've done. But we've done it in a way. We've decided to refresh and rebrand the tour as the Women's World Match Racing Tour, something we've never done before. And so the branding looks similar, but it's a separate tour, but in the same family as the tour. We're super excited about it. We had to rush a little bit to announce the tour this year, and I thank our partners in Normandy, a new event in at the Royal Danish Yacht Club in Copenhagen, in Corfu, and the finals will be hosted by the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron in Auckland in November. So really delighted to get it off the ground. And so far, it's been hugely successful, and we're getting contacts from new teams. And we're hoping for next year to double the number of events. And if I'm allowed to do a short promotion on this podcast, you know, we're actively looking for a partner, a corporate partner or two, to really help us to launch properly and take the tour to
the next level.
I think it deserves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's at a very good time for women in sport. It's a very topical conversation. There's a real shift in attitude to women in sport, a positive attitude for growing women, an increasing number of women in sport. And that comes right down from the Olympics as well. They've put in place some very strict mandates.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget exactly what they are, but it's like a 50-50 within a number of years.
But and also for the teams, you know, I've had so many questions from other teams and young girls wanting to be part of the match racing, the world of match racing, and they haven't really had, you know, a place to go. It's been a lot of good events, but I think having a tour, it's so important, because then you know, okay, this is what we aim for, this is what we will focus on, and you know all the dates in advance, and you know you have something,
and hopefully all the dates will stay. Sometimes they can be subject to moving, but and
it was good interest for the Danish event.
Well, I think the Danish event is, it's a brand new event by the Royal Danish Club, Royal Danish Yacht Club, and they it proved so popular, they increased the number of teams to 14 teams, and I think they have 12 already signed up. And I don't think they even really told many people about it. So that's very, it's very positive. So we're really excited about it. We've talking to new events for next year in the US and hopefully in Australia as well. Get you guys really, really traveling around. And at the same time, and I think the one thing it's doing is it's giving women the opportunity to have their own tour. And I love what America's Cup are doing. I love what SailGP are doing by having females on members on the team. This particular opportunity with the women's tour is all women. It's the whole team. And I think it's a great opportunity. Something else we launched during the pandemic was the World Match Racing Tour Academy, which is... it's a slowly building, but we're working with academies around the world, including Dawn Riley's hugely successful Oak Cliff Sailing. And I know you know that. You won the event there in the Swedish Match 40s that we developed and launched here in 2003 for the
amazing
history interested listening. And the academy is designed to... We want to work with clubs and existing academies to help them to run short... maybe 2-3 day match racing academies where teams that are interested in learning about match racing can go and learn under an academy atmosphere without being, you know, at a professional regatta. And I think that hopefully will increase the number of women interested in match racing. They learn how fun it is, and then we'll start to see them on the tour.
Well, we must have an academy here in Sweden.
You must have.
Yes.
We
have the Match Race Center in
JKS,
so we have a great, like venue for it. But
And many of these yacht clubs, you know, they have great resource. They have great clubs. They have many of them have boats, whether it's 2, 4, 6, 8 boats, as I know they do here with the JKS. You know, it's very easy to have a sort of 2-day academy. We can bring and help bring some of the pro match racing sailors. We did a very successful academy at the Queen Mary Sailing Club in the UK last year in partnership with the RYA. And it's we had Ian Williams, the 6-time world champion, come and spend a day with us. We had Ian Walker come and spend a day with us. And it was great. So we'd like to do more of that to help introduce... not just women, actually, but anyone into match racing, and then provide the tour platforms for them to come and compete, earn points, and hopefully prizes and prize money. And I say prize money because, you know, we're the only prize money tour in the sport that I'm aware of. Since we started the Swedish Match Tour and now the World Match Racing Tour in 2000, roughly speaking, between the events and us as the tour, we've donated over $23 million to teams.
Wow.
And that's cash prize money.
Yeah.
Well, and some cars and microwaves and the other prizes, but over $20 million. And that's, you know, I'm really proud of that and hopefully something we can continue and grow.
Yeah, it's very important for all the teams to be able to, you know, follow their dreams and keep on sailing.
Yeah, and if we can create a really strong, you know, career pathway for some of these teams, and particularly through the women's tour, you know, it may even give them an opportunity to, you know, do it full time, you know, do it as a profession. I think that would be a real target, as we've seen with other teams, and the guys have done that.
That sounds amazing. Let's aim for that. And thank you, James. We're so happy to have you here in beautiful Marstrand. We're actually now at the Marstrands Havshotel recording. So we're not in the studio in Gothenburg, but it works fine. And now we're off for a nice, well-deserved dinner, I
Wonderful.
Guess.
Wonderful. Oh, it's been terrific to be here. It's a fantastic hotel. I would encourage anyone to stay. I've stayed here a few times, and they're very welcoming here, and it's so close to. I mean, you see the water out of the window, so
you actually see the beautiful picture with the Marstrand Island and the castle. It's actually better to sit here and have dinner than sit on the island.
You're right, and it's the only hotel I know that has a floating sauna. So look it up, everyone. It's a great place to stay.
I agree. Thank you, James.
Thanks a lot.
Inspirerande att få höra någon som brinner så starkt för vår sport och som jobbar så hårt under så många år för att förutsättningarna ska bli bättre. Tack för att ni har lyssnat och vi hörs igen om 2 veckor.
En poddproduktion av Fredag.